Thank you for tuning in to the sixth day of IGH 260, a five-year-long study of the New Testament brought to you by International Gospel Hour. Today's broadcast, week one, lesson six. A very quick reminder, here's what IGH 260 is all about. We will be studying each of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, one chapter per week. That, of course, totals 260 weeks, or 5 years' worth of Bible study. To learn more about IGH 260 and how you can get all of our free materials, including program downloads, digital books, online and correspondence courses, and more, we encourage you to do one of the following. Text the word IGHFREE to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word. Simply text IGHFREE to 55222. You can send an email to free at ighradio.com, or you can call us toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988. To listen to our earlier programs and keep up with our IGH 260 studies, go to the media page at internationalgospelhour.com. It's the beginning of a brand new year. If you need a simple daily Bible reading schedule, go to the free page at internationalgospelhour.com in order to download one today. Here's where we were at the end of our last program. To get the fuller context, you might want to listen to our prior programs by going to internationalgospelhour.com and clicking the media tab. At the close of our last study together, we noted this. Once David the king was introduced, Matthew's work moves quickly through a succession of kings. David fathered Solomon, who in turn fathered Rehoboam, who fathered Abijah. This David the king seed line continued through Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joram, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah, and then ended with Josiah's son, Jeconiah. Indirect mention was also made of Josiah's other sons, Jeconiah's brothers, some of whom also served as king. At this time, however, Judah's kings were not always autonomously ruling the nation, but were often the vassals of the Babylonian kings. They were, for lack of a better description, puppet kings. There's a natural break here, the second one actually, that occurs in Matthew's record. There were 14 generations from Abraham to David. That's the first of three genealogical sections in Matthew 1. Next, there were 14 generations from David until Judah began to be carried away into Babylonian captivity. That's the second of the three ancestral segments presented. As Matthew continues, there would be one more 14-generation block that went from Babylonian captivity to the Christ. We turn to that third division next. Before we do, let's note this about the importance of David as king. Christ would be the perfect priest, the perfect prophet, and the perfect king, all three wrapped up into one, the one. The names that followed David, starting with his son Solomon, were all in David's seed line. That's obvious. They were also in the same seed line going back to Abraham, and in Luke's genealogy, going back to Adam. But from David forward, they were all either actually reigning kings or next in line in the genealogy to become kings, if there ever was an independent kingdom again. There are no kings listed in Matthew's account from Abraham to David, but from David to Jeconiah, they were all reigning kings. Something changed at that point. Because of Judah's consistent failure to follow God's will, as revealed in the Mosaic Law, God punished them. God allowed them to be taken into captivity, and then God allowed them to remain there for 70 years, a time frame prophesied by Jeremiah. But there's something else. Jeremiah not only predicted that the captivity would last 70 years, he also foretold this about Judah's kings after Jeconiah. Hear Jeremiah's prophecy. It appears in the closing verses of Jeremiah chapter 22. As I live, says the Lord, though Kaniah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were the signet on my right hand, yet I would pluck you off, and I will give you into the hand of those who seek your life, and into the hand of those whose face you fear, the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the hand of the Chaldeans. So I will cast you out, and your mother who bore you, into another country where you were not born, and there you shall die. But to the land to which they desire to return, there they shall not return. Is this man Kaniah a despised broken idol, a vessel in which is no pleasure? Why are they cast out, he and his descendants, and cast into a land which they do not know? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, for none of his descendants shall prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. That's Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 24 through 30. This passage pronounces judgment against Judah. It explicitly states that following Kaniah, called Jeconiah in Matthew chapter 1, no one would sit on David's throne and rule any more in Judah. The text dramatically accentuates that with these words, write this man down as childless. That makes it sound like Jeconiah, or Kaniah, also called Jehoiakim in the First Testament, it makes it sound like he would not father children. That can't be the intended meaning. How do we know that? We know that because, after being introduced in Matthew's genealogy, the record continues by naming his son, and his grandson, and his great-grandson, and so forth. Then what does it mean to say that he was childless? The childless aspect of Jeremiah's prophecy was explained in the next verses. He, Jeconiah, would not prosper in his days. Why? Because he would be taken into captivity. He would not himself continue to reign as king until death, the normal timetable of kings. Furthermore, none of his descendants would prosper. That does not mean that they were all destined to be failures in every aspect of life, but it does mean that they would fail to prosper in this key area. Jeremiah continued by saying that none of Jeconiah's descendants would prosper by sitting on David's throne and by ruling in Judah anymore. The ancestral seed line from Jeconiah to Christ did not stop here. It would continue through to the coming of the Christ. What stopped was Jeconiah's son, Jeconiah's grandson, and so forth, from ruling as kings, as did David and his descendants up to and including Jeconiah. Again, the Davidic seed line did not end with Jeconiah. But the Davidic seed line kings were no longer actively ruling as kings. Though it's not a direct part of our study, Jeremiah's prophecy about Jeconiah's sons did not include everybody up to the time of Christ, but not Christ himself. No, it also included Christ. Not even the Christ would sit on David's literal, physical throne. Not even the Christ would rule in Judah. Christ's throne and Christ's reign was not going to be like David's. It would not be physically on a throne in the city of Jerusalem. If Matthew teaches anything, and this applies to the rest of the New Testament as well, it teaches that Christ's throne was spiritual, that Christ's reign was spiritual, that Christ's kingdom was spiritual, and so forth. Christ's intent was to reign in the souls of man and not in the kingdoms of this world. Everything about Christ's fulfillment of David as king was spiritual, and that's what we will find more fully revealed as we move forward in Matthew's gospel. Before moving to the last section of Matthew chapter 1, the section that addresses the birth of Jesus Christ, these reminders. Matthew's reckoning from David to the captivity, the second of the three 14 generations accounts, was abbreviated, was condensed. Though we have mentioned it before, it's worth noting again. Matthew was not attempting to rebuild a complete genealogy from Adam to Christ. His truncated record, broken up into three easy-to-follow sections, was intended for just that purpose, to be easy to follow, to be memorable. The biblical record often used mnemonic devices to aid in audience retention. More often than not, people were exposed to biblical teaching by hearing more so than by reading. Thus, the read text would have to be easy to follow and memorable. The third and final genealogical block, starting at Matthew chapter 1, verse 12, and continuing through Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, moves just as quickly as did the second. This section of Matthew's list starts with the Babylonian captivity, with Jeconiah specifically, and moves swiftly to Jacob, the father of Joseph, who was the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ, Matthew 1:16. That list included Jeconiah, Shealtiel, Zerubbabel, Abiud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Achim, Eliud, Eleazar, Mathan, and Jacob. This section concludes with verse 16, part of which we just noted a moment ago. And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called Christ. Matthew's list of generations stops at this point. There was no need to go any further down the line. In fact, it was impossible to do so. Why do we say that? First, if you consider that this generational list could have continued by moving sideways to and then through the brothers of Jesus, then yes, the record could continue. But that's not the way that Matthew's record operated. We have already seen instances where such side parts of the genealogical record were mentioned, but in each case, that's the extent of it. Side relations were mentioned and then summarily ignored. Judah had two sons, Perez and Zerah. Both were mentioned, but Zerah's seed line, it doesn't exist. Why? Because it was not pertinent to Matthew's goal, getting to Jesus. There's much more to study in Matthew chapter 1, but it won't be aired on any radio broadcast. Well then, how will you hear the rest of the study? That's easy. Just go to internationalgospelhour.com and click on the Media tab and listen to this week's bonus lesson. More to come next week. Stay tuned.